Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today is going to be a great day. Thank you. Whoever said that. Who said that? I like you, Aisha. I'm telling you, I've longed for this day where I could talk to you once again. I had not talked to Mario James in 20 years. We talked the other day. I had to hold back my tears. Aisha, Sean. I talked to Gigi the other day. Some of you guys I hadn't talked to in years. A lot of memories are in this church. Some of you are grown now. Children. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been through bad relationships. Life has been unfair to you. But you know what? Today I'm going to bring you some understanding. It wasn't God's fault. Life can be cruel. But if you know your God, and you will, but tell this nice people with, you can stand firm in whatever you go through. And I'm so glad that you're here. Gigi and her husband are here. I married them and their daughter and all kind of, I hadn't talked to some of you in a long time. Well, Alia's here. Pooh Bear. Kathy. Joey, oh my God. Some of the crew's back. So glad that you're here. So glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. Now, we just got things going with that song. We just got things going a little bit. You can be seated. You can be seated. We're going to go back into worship. But I've longed for this day to be in your prayer. I've cried. I've gotten up many mornings this week just thinking about all of you. And I'm so glad that you're here. So, so glad that you are here. So glad that you are here. You don't know what this has done to me with you being here. I love you from the bottom of my heart. I've been saved for 28 years, and I'm going to tell you one thing. There's no such thing as burning out as a Christian. Every day, I can't see for a season, but every day, I can't wait to wake up in the morning to turn on my Bible and to spend my day with Jesus. And my love for you is so sincere, and I am glad that you are here. Even God agrees with me. Even God agrees with me. Say it again, God. He just said one time was enough. I am so glad that you are here. Before I go on, I want to thank some people. We want to remember Mr. Ruben Alvear used to drive that bus for us. No longer with us. He's with Jesus. And we want to thank Marty Plamondon that drove that bus. You guys drove Marty crazy. But he did it. He drove, oh God, he drove Jimmy crazy. Julie was mean to Jimmy. I want to thank, I know Kathy's here. She hadn't been here in a while. She used to help us with the youth. She's here today. That in itself, to see some of you guys back in the house of God, just, I'm sure I'm speaking on the behalf of my pastor. We're so delighted that you are here. We don't care what you've done, man. We've all made mistakes. But the blood of Jesus is here to forgive us of all our sins. God is love. Amen. Amen. So, before we go on to the next part of this service. For years, we used to have a huge youth group here. And Renee, Carl, and Alex used to say this all the time. What church you go to? What did everybody just say, Renee? Homer's Church. Okay. Let me bring clarity. Let me bring clarity to Homer's church. I understand what you meant. I appreciate, like Mexicans say, I appreciate it mucho, but this is not my church. I'm just an associate here. That's all I am. I'm an associate here. This is Pastor Bronx Church. He's the pastor. And saying that, I like to call my pastor up to open us up in a word of prayer. This has been my path. I've been saved for 28 years. I've served under his ministry for 28 years. He's been my pastor for 28 years. And it is an honor and a privilege to serve under this man. And his wife. His wife is awesome, but don't tell her I said that, because I will deny it. Also, thank you, Holy Spirit. I want to thank Terry Velasco. Velasquez, I don't know if she came tonight, she was supposed to. And Terry D'Amico. So many years she's helped us with worship. Week in and week out. All the way from Fort Myers and Lehigh, helping us out every single week. And guys, and thank you so much. And my wife is such an awesome woman. She cooked for many of you, never complained, loved doing it. Even for Fat Wash, she cooked for. My boy Fat, I love Fat Wash. That's my boy. We spent many days together when Miami used to beat Florida State all the time. He left my house all mad. Man, I'm so happy that you guys are here. So, so happy. We're going to have a good time. But saying all that, I say this, I'm going to invite my pastor. I want you to give him a nice round of applause. Pastor Gary Flint, he's going to open us up, say hi to you, whatever he wants to say, and open us up in prayer, and then we'll go on to the next segment of the service. Pastor, come on up.
Well, most of y'all know me as Pastor Bronk, but I appreciate what Homer said about the church, but really this is not my church, it's Jesus' church. That's who belongs, that's the head of the church. But I love all of you. You know, my daughters grew up in this church as well, and I did not know most of you like Homer did, but I got close to several of you because a lot of you would come over and visit. But you know, when we came to Immokalee, my wife and I, we came here with our two daughters, and they were young, but we had a call here, and we didn't just come here as a couple of white people just to kind of, you know, show off and show people what we knew or this, that, and the other. We came here to marry in and be part of the community. When we got here, we had myself, my wife, and two white girl daughters that went to Immokalee High School, and then 26 years later, I have five Hispanic grandchildren, three Haitian grandchildren, three Jewish grandchildren, and Candy and I are the only two crackers in a bunch, you know. So, I mean, you know, I guess we kind of made the deal. So let's all stand together. So, Father, we worship you for this moment. Would you just lift your hands towards the Lord? Just accept what he and what Homer said today. I don't care what you've come with, what mistakes you've come with, how far you feel away from God. God is here to touch your life today. Cleanse your life and meet you wherever you're at. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God in this place. It already has been a good day, but Lord, do what you want to do. Heal, deliver, set free, baptize in the Holy Ghost, bring forth salvation. I bless them now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for it. And everybody said, amen. God bless.
He said the word crackers. I say the word gringos. Don't tell him I said that. Again, we got a couple of testimonies coming up, and I think you're really going to enjoy these testimonies, especially one of a young lady that's from Nebraska. I've heard her testimony about a year ago. Literally had me in tears. She's an incredible lady, I ask you this, just open up your heart and your ears. God wants to touch your heart today. He wants to forgive you. He wants to love you. He wants to change you. He wants to put his life inside of you and turn you into a different person. Again, like Pastor said, I reiterate, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. God can forgive you, cleanse you, fill you, and change you. Homer, I've failed. I've done this. I have too. But then I met Jesus, and he rocked my world. He rocked my world. 28 years I've been saved, and I tell you, I'm still on fire for Jesus Christ. People say, how do you do it? You're blind. Well, my eyes aren't born again. My spirit is born again. I'm tough in the spirit. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So saying that, I'm going to say this. Alex Genty, where are you at? I got nicknames for everybody. He's Alex Genty. I call him Bitcoin. I call him P. Diddy. He's got a wonderful testimony. You're going to be blessed by it. And I'm going to tell you why I asked him to give a testimony. Because there always seems to be excuses in our life why there's failure. You know what? I'm going to let him testify. So saying that, stay with me about an hour. We're going to have a good time. Do me a favor and give a nice round of applause to Alex Genty. Hallelujah.
Hello, everyone. Some of you obviously know who I am, and some of you, I was just too young or still in Haiti that you may not know who I am. But when Homer asked me to give kind of a testimony of, you know, just the things in my life, you know, I just stayed in a matter of days. I just didn't think much about it, but really kind of prayed, and I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of was leading me, you know, like a certain direction. I do want to say, do want to highlight the part of, you know, where I'm at right now and how much I've overcome, but also, too, he's been really tugging me to talk a little bit about my journey just with my experience with God and you know, where I am now and how I got there, but starting to just to highlight the part about the hardship, I think it's important because coming from Immokalee, being raised in Immokalee, and not saying we're the underdog, it's just in every aspect really in my life, I've always been where I guess the odds weren't on my side or weren't favorable. But just to dive into it, I thought about just when it comes to walking with God, I'm at a place now where I do know him, and I understand him, and I talk to him, and I spend time in prayer, and I'm growing. And a lot of that is why my life is where it's at. If you guys don't know, I write books for a living. About, you know, 10 years ago, almost 10 years ago, I quit my job and went on a wild ride. And for some reason, not for some reason, I know a lot of it was been me having a not giving up mentality, but a lot of it came with obviously God leading me, and not because of the success, but because I know in some areas I'm getting his instruction and walking with him. But when I was thinking about this, I thought about just my life, how in all my phases that I was going through with God, you know, I came from a phase of curiosity, and which is asking myself, who is God? You know, trying to learn. And when I thought about that phase, I thought about when I was younger in Haiti, I used to go to a Catholic school. And I would always walk down the street, and we would always have to go to, I mean, I went to the school. We were mandated to go to church every Sunday. And, you know, like a random, out of nowhere, they built a church right within that path. And I remember I would walk every time and see people worshiping and, look, you know, praising God. And I remember just 8 years old, being curious, you know, being curious and wanting to know who he is. And out of that phase, I realized I grew out of a phase where, and I'm talking about just my journey with God, going into a phase where I was trying to learn him out of fear. And it's worth mentioning because a lot of that phase where I wasn't even comfortable because I've been taught wrong about what God, who God is. I walked into that phase more of like afraid if I do something, God, you know, God's always here to punish me and God hurt, God kill. And it was so much of that where I couldn't have a relationship with God. And out of that phase, I grew into a phase where I felt like I was walking with God out of appearance. Meaning when I came to the state here, it was just me and my sister. And my mom and my dad had never been around. I was born on a Wednesday, and my mom had to come from Haiti to travel here to take care of, I mean, to obviously provide better living for us. So I wasn't even breastfed because my mom had to leave early just to make a life for us. And out of that phase, I came here. I remember going, my mom didn't go to church. I was one of those kids who was always looking to know more about him. And when I came out, we used to live off Colorado Avenue, and my mom said, well, you're not going to go to, you know, I'm not going to take you to church, but you could go to this church because I know the lady there, and they're going to watch you because, you know, them Haitian fans going to look over you. It's like, we're going to tell your mom. So that's where we started going to Pastor Paul Church. And I remember there, the first time I got there, there was one time they were having a Bible challenge, and I won. And I'm mentioning that. Yeah, I actually knew more verse, believe it or not, Homer. But I won. But out of that phase, I came to a point where I started, you know, trying to know God or trying to at least serve him out of appearance because I wanted to look like this kid who's trying to walk with God. But in reality, nothing was really going on right for me. You know, my father was murdered. He was in prison for 5 years because of cocaine trafficking before I even got into the U.S. So he was murdered. And during that time, my sister was the only person that I was close with. But when we came into the U.S., she had to move to Miami, and I had to pretty much live with my mom. And my mom wasn't here all the time. So we pretty much raised ourselves. So, but out of that phase, I tried to be a good kid and just manage to just go through life. But I knew I was living in some pain, but I was still looking for God. And it's, you know, kind of what I'm thinking now is how Homer mentioned wherever you've been in all those phases, he was still just walking with me, but still, in a sense, tugging me to come along. So in that phase is when I started coming to this church. And when I started coming to this church, you know, it gave me a foundation, but then I went into college. And in college, I didn't have to live when it comes in terms of appearance. And sometimes when you go to church or with religion, you feel like you have to live an appearance, meaning that you feel like, okay, if someone know I walk a little bit with God, that means anything that I have in my life that I haven't taken care of or still doing, I have to make sure it's done, you know, in the dark. Well, in college, you can get a lot of freedom, and that freedom led to where I just did not live out of appearance, and I was just there, just this is where I was drinking my pain away, and, you know, lust and things, women, and then to where I had kind of a moment where I had a breakdown because I would come home and I would come and visit Homer and I would feel convicted. And then Homer would be nosy too and he'll see my pictures on Facebook and like, Alex, where's that red cup? And I'm like, it's water, Homer. And I would come here but still try to live out of appearance. And I remember I got into a relationship. You know, when I went to school, well, this is the part where I got out of the whole idea of appearance. I remember I was in one morning, I got a call, and I think it was Carl, and he called me, and he said, he just let me know that Gary had died. And I don't know if you guys, I'm crying for everything now. But I don't know if you guys remember Gary Delva, but Gary Delva died. And in all my times, you know, in all those phases, I was always, when I reached the fear of God of like, hey, what if I die and, you know, something happens to me and I don't know God and I did not walk as I should. And when Gary died, that fear amplified because it was like, what am I living for? And out of that became where I dropped out of college. I didn't care for anything. I was living and pretty depressed. But I got to a point where I came back here in Immokalee, which also made me feel a little bit more tough because I felt like a failure. Because when you come back to the community, instead of seeing that you're back in the community, you feel like, oh, I didn't make it. Now I'm back to my town. So that was a hard thing for me to swallow. And I got into a relationship. And right after that heartbreak became where I remember I was sitting back there, I was like, I've tried almost everything. I've tried to serve God, you know, all different ways. And none of them where I really had a relationship with him. And I remember sitting back there and pastor, which is another thing that's funny about Homer saying the Homer Church thing, because I saw a pastor up here. I'm like, who's this white guy up front? I thought that was Homer Church. What happened to him? And I remember, you know, it was, I just felt something strong. And pastor prayed, and I came up here. And that's where I started a journey of not trying to serve God out of appearance, not out of fear or any of that, to where I started walking with him. And even that, in that journey, I had my moments where I stumbled, and I had a time where I was backsliding. But out of that time, one of the things I realized that happened is that I came to a point where I was not serving out of appearance. I was not serving because I'm afraid God's going to kill me in a car crash or something like that. I was also not trying to hide anything. I wasn't trying to impress Homer in my walk or impress anyone. But I started walking where I wanted to know God for who he is, and which is at the phase that I am now, to where I've seen so many things that were turned upside down in my life just working to me being closer to my mom, to where I didn't get to spend any years with her, to me being able to provide for my family the way my mom couldn't do, to me being here. And I share it like this because I want to say, you know, kind of this homecoming service, I don't know where everybody's at. I think for me, it's kind of thinking maybe the way you understood God is that you're operating out of fear. Maybe you're trying to keep something up front that you want people to be impressed, and deep down you're still dealing with it. Maybe it is just, you know, for whatever you're trying, you kind of have an idea with God. But the one thing that is the most important to me is that now I can say I have a genuine relationship with him and understanding who he is and hearing him. Because I know even for me, and it's in every aspect of my life, even with my wife, learning to love her, it's kind of, there's certain things that I want to say back. And the Holy Spirit's like, no. And I'm like, okay, never mind. So it's like he will direct your path in so many, in every situation. And everything that I have going, I hate saying the success is God. Now, I don't hate it, but a lot of the time people go after God for the success. But anything you see that's going on in my life is a fruit of me just giving up my life to him and really just leaning to him. And even the failures are overcoming. The reason, like, it's really hard sometimes for me when I share is because I realize how long the journey has been. And he stayed by me throughout the entire journey. And just like Homer said, he loved you wherever you've been. I could tell you that from that experience, from a kid who was 8, still chasing him. And now I'm at a phase where I know I'm out of curiosity. I know he is. I'm not of appearance. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I just love him for who he is. So that's all I had on my heart to share. So.
P. Diddy. Hallelujah. That was good and simple and to the heart, right? Spoke his heart. That's what you're going to get in this church. People, I'm not a very smart guy. I'll speak to you from the heart. I'm not a preacher that's schooled. I didn't go to Bible college. I'm just crazy and read my Bible all the time. Well, I hear it. I think you know what I mean by that. But the next person is his wife. And I invited her because she has a powerful testimony. It left me crying, but then I cry when the wind blows, so it doesn't really matter. But I'll leave it up to her on how far she wants to go with it. But I call her Natalie the Gadite. If you know your Bible, you know what a Gadite is. A Gadite is a tough, tough person, a bad dude. She's not a dude, but I call her Nat the Gat. She's tough, and you'll hear her testimony, and I believe you'll be encouraged with it. And then we're going to go on and do some good worship, and then we're going to going and preach the gospel of the kingdom in a real simple, simple, simple way. I talked to a man named Gary Carpenter the other day, and he said that God gave him the instruction to always preach God's word or even a second grader could understand it. So I'm going to, with all my heart and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to preach the gospel of the kingdom to you with such simplicity that I want you to understand every single word. Stay with me a little bit longer. Saying that, I'm going to call up his wife, Natalie Genti. She has a nickname too, but I'm not going to call her the nickname. Please don't know. See? I think, yeah, so give Natalie a nice round of applause.
Hi, everybody. I'm Natalie. Hi. I just want to break this up a little bit. I'm trying not to be here too long. But I just want to talk about a cause and effect and how you can go through something and how you think you're fine, but you're not fine. And you just trying to take one day at a time. I really want to talk about that type of journey. And so in the beginning, I am going to talk about the cause. And I know there's some children in here, and I'll try to be as nice as possible. So I'm just kind of warning some of the parents. I'll try to be as nice as I can with, you know, with the experience. So, but yeah, so I, again, I'm from Nebraska. I came from a pretty big family. And when I was about 9 years old, there was a person that started to molest me. And I had no idea about stuff like that. I was raised in a generation where you outside until the street lights come on and drink from the water hose. Like, I had no idea about stuff like that. And then it started to be more aggressive to where it was sexual assault. And, you know, I was a fighter. Like, I would try to fight him off. And, you know, and the more I fought, the more I got beat. You know, I don't want to go real into detail, but it was very traumatic. Like, I was choked out. I was tied up. Like, it was really bad, and to the point where I just stopped fighting because it's like, I can't win. And I couldn't tell my parents because this person was like, I'll kill your family. And I, as a little kid, you believe that. And so I didn't have anybody to talk to. And I'm trying to deal with it on my own. And I tried to kill myself 3 times with pills, slit my wrist, and tried to jump in front of a car. And eventually it stopped. This person wasn't around my family anymore. But I still, out of fear, couldn't tell anybody what was wrong. And so my family is very close. Like, we're lovey-dovey. Like, Alex couldn't. We're lovey-dovey. We'll give you a hug, like, you know. And my parents were very disciplinary. They were very active in my life. But I was angry because I'm like, y'all didn't see what's going on with me. Y'all didn't see what was going on. And I don't blame my parents because I'm a parent now, and I know you can miss things because life is hard. But I just remember in high school, I was just super angry. Super angry. My parents split up. I was living with my dad. He had a restaurant, so he really couldn't keep his eye on me. So I was out there. I was drinking, smoking, popping Xy pills, and the only reason I stopped is because I couldn't eat like I wanted to. And, you know, and it's not funny, but back then it was funny, but it's not funny now. But you know, I was just hurting, and I was just trying to find something to make me like feel better. And I was angry at God. I was angry. I've been in church all my life. I knew all the Bible stories, but I never really like knew him. I just knew about God. And but I was angry, y'all. And I was angry because I felt like, how could this have happened? Like, you know. And but as I got older, like, he just would bring people in my life who would speak into my life, and he just wouldn't leave me alone. And I got pregnant right out of high school with my son, who's now 13. And now I started to care about my life, because at first I just really didn't care about my life. I, you know, in high school was around gangbangers, and I did not care about my life. I didn't care if I was going to die. And but when I had my son, it's like I had a reason to live again. I had a reason to, like, get my act together. I had a reason to start caring about my life, you know. And so I was just real lost. I didn't know where to go. And I eventually started living on my own and stuff, and going back to the church. Church back in Omaha that I was going to. And there was a lot of good people in there that would just, they didn't really know what was going on, but would just pour into me. And I found friends that these, like, real good friends who I looked up to. And I was like, dang, like, they look so happy, peaceful. Like, you know, they got it going on. That's where I'm trying to be, you know. And we eventually became friends. And I started to, you know, get to know who God is more. And I went into ministry. And then, but I still, at this time, I knew him. And I would have, like, experiences with him, like, through other people. You know how other people will pray for you or they'll get a word. But it wasn't like a face-to-face encounter. And fast forward, I got married. I met Alex. And I came down here. And at that time when I came down here, I really thought, like, I knew who I am. Like, I was, like I said, I was in ministry, and, you know, I was a single mom, so I was working. I had two jobs. Like, you know, I was like, okay, I feel like I, you know, got a good life. I know who I am. I got it going on. But when I moved down here, all those things got stripped away from me, and I had to sit with myself, because I was operating out of busyness to where I couldn't even feel, like, what was going on with me. To actually, like, feel how I'm feeling, because in high school, you know, you're trying to fill up worldly things to feel better, but now I replace that with busyness. And, you know, it started to affect my marriage, and I didn't know what was going on with me. I'm like, I got a great husband, you know, we got kids, I'm at home, like, why am I unhappy? And I was just miserable, and I had no reason to, like, I was taken care of. And I started to go deeper into, like, really trying to figure out what was going on, because it was really affecting our marriage. And, you know, through research, the Lord led me to a book called The Body Keeps Score. And it talks about, you know, PTSD and trauma. And so I got to, and the Lord led me there, not because he's showing me that's who you are, because it wasn't, but it was to put some words so I knew, like, how to get help. Because, again, I wasn't really... I would talk about it, but I wasn't really trying to get help, you know. And I was praying. Don't get me wrong. Praying is what is the catalyst that got me here today. But I needed to apply some wisdom in the natural and what else I could be doing, some techniques. And so he had me read this book, and okay, I got to understand. I know what to pray for. And I was like back and forth with therapy and, you know, what, but I was at a point in my life where I'm done talking about it. I'm done talking about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Like, I'm just ready to get healed of it. Like, because, like, when you're at home with kids, there's also a heaviness. And then there's the PTSD symptoms where my girls would just be screaming, but really they're just happy. And in those moments, I would have panic attacks. My whole body would go hot and I couldn't breathe, because it's just, you know, that's just some of the symptoms and stuff of it. And so anyways, I went through this. It's kind of embarrassing what I'm getting ready to go through, but I was like going real deep into self-care. And again, self-care, there's nothing wrong with that. I think some moms should take time, take care of themselves. But I was going like in the deep end, you know, like I started looking at like different like rocks and stuff, and like, oh, it's supposed to like clear the air, or, you know, like sage, and, you know, oh, good atmosphere. And like, you know, and I would like, you know, I wasn't like deep in it though, but I just was like, okay, let me just see what this is about. But none of that stuff like worked. And or you get the bracelets, the, you know, the different type of bracelets that means represents love or peace or whatever, but like none of that helped. And I remember Homer was like, you know, keep praying, keep worshiping, but I was in a point where I'm like, I don't want to keep praying. Like I want to be done. Like, you know, and I just felt like God wasn't taking, like he wasn't coming fast enough. And I kinda like put him in a box and was like, okay. And so I'm, you know, and there was a one day, and I'm almost done. There was one day where it just got really bad over a number of days. I homeschool my kids too, so it's like I'm really like in that motherhood life. And it was just a really bad day. And the kids were just going crazy. Like, it was just, I don't know what was going on. I don't know if it was just the orange juice. I don't know what was going on. But it was just, it was bad. And I'd sent everyone to bed. Even my 13-year-old, I was like, just go in your room, just go in your room. And I remember going in the closet, and I was just crying, y'all. I was just done. Like, I was just, and I was trying so hard. I was trying to be a good wife, trying to be a good mother. And, like, and then I'm just falling apart inside, and I'm just tired of it. I was just tired of just trying so hard. And I was done. Like, I told God, I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I was like, I'm about to get a job. Like, these kids going to daycare. I'm going to put my kid back in school. Like, I just go to work, come home, feed them. Like, I just, you know, and that sounds so horrible, but, like, I was just done. I text Alex, like, I'm done. And he has no idea when I'm, you know, and you know how, like, you real upset and you crying? Like, let's say if you're a parent, or maybe if you're a parent or even your own parent, you just, when you're really crying and you're just so mad, like, usually your parent would just be, like, pat you on the back and, like, let you cry it out. That's what God did that day. He didn't say nothing to me. And he let me just, you know, and I'm sitting here cooking dinner, and I used to do spoken word, and so a lot of times I would get inspiration. I had to hurry up and go write it down, and I started to get inspiration in the middle of cooking dinner, and I remember the Lord was just, like, just giving me a word and just telling me, like, you know, you want me to heal you, but you're not letting me in all the way. You know, you let me in a little bit, but not all the way. You're not giving up control. You trying to tell me how I'm moving, and, you know, you're not surrendering it really all. Like, you still trying to figure it out yourself. And and I was just undone, and I'm almost done. Towards the that weekend, I was already going to Shreveport, Louisiana, and it was for a retreat. My same friend in the beginning, when I went to that church, and I was like, oh, those friends, I'm trying to be like them. Well, those are my very close sisters to this day. And they invited me there, and I'm like, okay, I'll go. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm here, but okay, Shreveport, you know, and I'm there, and I'm, you know, and it's a group of women. Now, the retreat is basically on a camp, and there's, like, motel style rooms, and it's just beautiful properties in nature. Like, it's a group of women who are just, most of them are just strangers, but they were so hungry for God. And I'm walking in there, and I was like, okay. And, but it was just, there was a presence there. And you could literally feel God's presence. And nobody, you know, and nothing against pastor, but, like, nobody was, like, preaching. Nobody was laying hands. Everyone was just worshiping. And they was just letting go. And I remember just starting. There was this one lady, though, but she was ministering. But she was ministering through dance and worship. And she started, like, dancing around people. And I was looking like, but it was beautiful. But I was just kind of like, I've seen, like, when you dance and stuff, I've seen groups of dance at church, but never someone who would just minister like that. And it was beautiful. And I just started, and she would just dance around people, and people just started falling out with the Lord and crying. Some were screaming because God was, like, doing a healing. And I remember you could, like, literally feel the Lord, like, the Holy Spirit coming, and, like, trying to explain this to where it makes sense, because it sounds weird, but, like, I could see him coming. Like, you know how, like, if you close your eyes and somebody walk past, you can feel that, or a row of dominoes just starts falling, you know, that's kind of like how the people were like dominoes. You literally see people just, and I'm standing there in my chair, and I was like, I'm not falling out like that. Oh, I was just like, no, but I knew I wanted healing, but I didn't want it that way. And until I said, okay, God, okay, you win. And I let him in, and I remember just falling down, and I did do the crying and the screaming, because I felt, like, this warmth in my body, and I felt just a lot of things were just tearing, like, I just felt healing in my body. And then after that, I just felt his love. Like, I've never had, like, an encounter like that, just, you know, like, coming to church, but I literally felt how much he loves me. And I've never felt that way. And I've been searching for that for a long time, just to be loved, like, and to be seen and to be heard. And all that stuff, he didn't care. He was like, I love you. And And that's changed my life. And now it's like I know who I am. I don't have to find certain things. I don't have to. I used to be in conflict with Alex because it's like I felt like I had nothing to show for. I'm just at home with kids, and like he's, and I'm so proud of him. He's winning, and you know, like success. And I know that's God, but like now it's like I'm content and I'm happy for where I'm at right now because like I know the Lord, like, and I'm okay, like, and I know, like, because I know his love, I can pour that into my children now. And like they can actually have that encounter instead of just knowing about it. They can experience that too. And so I just want to encourage you all today. If you're feeling that tugging, if you are really wanting healed or clarity, like allow him to. Don't just put one foot in and be like, you know, just yield to him. Meaning give him, yielding means give him a place. Give him a place to do that work. And you'll be surprised. It changes my life. Now, I'm happy being at home, like, with my kids. Like, I'm happy where I'm at. I know there's more for me, though. But, like, don't get me wrong. There's still some days. But I know how to, like, go inward. And I know how to bring that peace. And I know how to, like, change the atmosphere of my home. And, I know how to really see my kids and, you know, to hear them. And so it makes a difference for yourself. But people who are around you, it pours into them, too. And, but I'm going to give it back to Homer. So.
Hallelujah. Keep playing. Keep going. We're going to go into some worship now. I will say this. When I begin to preach the gospel, the word, I'm really going to help you. I'm going to help you to see yourself as a child of God. So many times Christians, they can't see themselves the way God sees you. God sees you holy and blameless in his sight. And we make mistakes as Christians, and we think we're that mistake. In essence, we could ever understand the love of God. We could ever comprehend that he loves you. I mean, that he loves you so much. You will never be the same. It's one thing to be born again. After you're born again, you've got to know him. I mean, you've got to know him. So many Christians live their life in deficit. In deficit. They wake up in the morning knowing they're going to fail. Why? Because they don't wake up knowing that they're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're going to have a good time in the Word. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. And I'm going to give you instruction on how to strengthen yourself in Jesus. After you give your life to Jesus, I'm going to give you instruction on how to stay strong. How to stay strong. That's what you want, don't you? So saying that, we're going to do some couple of worship songs. We had to change things up with worship. Somebody was going to do some songs for us today. They didn't feel too good. So they called, very apologetic. They wanted to be here. So it changed things up a little bit. But we're going to go to old faithful songs. Old songs we used to do back in the days for CD. Then we're going to go into some live worship. Our praise and worship leader, Harry, and then our worship crew is going to come up and lead us to some real simplistic songs, simple. But I urge you and I encourage you to come up in a little bit and just close your eyes. Just close your eyes before God. You want to get on the knee and just begin to ask God to minister to you. Say, Lord, I feel so far from you. I've been hurt, Lord. life has not been fair to me. Like Natalie said, let him in. Open up the door so that he can work with you and work on you. God will change you. Those are two powerful testimonies. Of a young lady that was lost. Now she's a good, solid Christian wife and a mom. A young man who had his dad murdered in Haiti, and he still made it. If they made it, so can you. Amen. So saying that, we're going to go into a couple of worship songs. And I would ask you, I can't mandate it. Like we used to in the old days, many years ago. We used to worship God. We used to come up to the altar. The girls, Aisha, Shandora, Ted. You guys used to really give it all you had. That God still wants to restore you and touch you and change your life. Let him work in your midst. So saying that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, please. Pretty please. And if you would, you can get that Jesus, lover of my soul, ready, Harry. Those of you that, let's do it together. We haven't been together in 5 or 6 years. Let's just come up, just close your eyes, and just you and Jesus. Just you and him. You guys can be seated quietly. Robert, keep playing a little bit, Robert. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Keep playing that same medley, please, for a little bit. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Does it feel good to be back in the house of God, Aisha? Tomorrow, James. Good to feel. Glad to be back in the house of God. My boy Waz. Kathy. Amen. Lupita. Gigi. Mando. Remember, I married you guys. So glad you're back. Shandora. Ted. Oh, man. I've gotten up many mornings the last week or two thinking about you guys, just weeping and crying. So glad that you're here. Pooh Bear. So glad you guys are here. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Somebody out. I know I've received instruction from God to keep this message as simple as I can. Don't want to get too preachy with doctrine. Want to keep this a simple, simple message. So simple. Stay with me a little bit longer. One thing about God is that God is love. Now think about this. If God is love, if God is love and God dwells in us. Now remember, God is love. And if God dwells in us, then what are we? Help me with a question. If God is love and God dwells inside of me, then we are what? Love. We hate no one. No matter how bad they are, ladies and gentlemen, this world is changing. It is changing. Don't listen to the news. Don't listen to lies. Listen to the good news, the Word of God. See, we hate no one, no one, no one. It's going to be a simple message for you today. So simple. God wants to come live inside of you and change you and be with you forever. The world is changing, my friends. Now it's a sin for mom and dad to raise a child. They want to turn our boys into girls and girls into boys. We're not mad at no one. That's not the way God designed it, man. Marriage between a male and a female. That is the Word of God. Christianity is being mocked and slaughtered. But we stand strong. Because God is love. There's a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to me carefully. I was told by the Holy Ghost to keep it as simple as I could. The verse says this. Are you with me? You listening? Okay. Simplistic word. Vanilla as can be. Because He wants you. He made him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. He made him. He being God. Him being Jesus. He made him. Listen. God made Jesus. Who knew no sin. Listen to this. Listen. He made him who knew no sin. God made Jesus, who did no sin, to be made sin for us. Let that sink in. Let me testify to you a little bit for about 5 minutes. I cry often when I preach the Word of God. I cry often because I was so lost in the world. So lost. So lost. And now I'm so found. And I cry thinking about the times that I should have faced death, where my soul should be in hell right now. In hell burning. But they say my grandmother died with a picture of me in her Bible. She died praying for me with my picture in her Bible. Died on her bed with the Bible wide open with my picture in her Bible. I should have been dead. Several. I've had a gun pointed at my head. A .357 pointed at my head. The bullet went off. I'm still alive. An axe thrown at my face. The axe got stuck in the windshield. Not a mark on me. And two other incidents where guns were pointed at me. But my grandmother's prayers kept me alive. And now I preach to you the Lord Jesus Christ. So I weep and I rejoice in heart because I should be dead, man, and in hell in a place of agony. But my grandmother loved me enough to pray me into God's kingdom. She prayed a hedge of protection over me, and I'm here today preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Terrible husband, hated my wife. She hated me. After 1 year of marriage, 1 year marriage, Ice and Tamario, after 1 year of marriage, me and my wife slept in different rooms. After 1 year, I hated her and she hated me. I was so miserable, man. Till one night at 5 o'clock in the morning, after almost blowing my own head off with a 357, so much cocaine in my system that we started playing Russian roulette. I'm almost done with this. We started playing Russian roulette. We had a mountain of cocaine on the table. That's just one instance. Then we're going to go on to the Word of God. We all got the gun, put a bullet in the chamber. One of my friends put it here and went. The gun didn't go off. Line after line, bump after bump, line after line, so coked up. We were so lost. We thought it was so funny. One of my friends put the gun to his head, pulled the trigger, didn't go off. Then it was my turn. I spun the chamber with a bullet in the chamber. So coked up, man. So coked up. I used to snort coke so much that your nose would start bleeding. It was my turn. Put the gun to my head. Pulled the trigger. And the gun went off. I had the gun on my temple. The gun went off. I still believe that through the prayers of my grandmother, there was an angel of God in that room. And when I pulled that trigger, I think the angel tipped my hand back and the bullet shaved all the back of my hair off. All of it. And shattered my window. I should have been dead. My wife comes back into the house. She sees the window shattered. This was years ago. She says, "What happened here?" She was mad. Because she used to hate when I used to snort cocaine. She used to hate it. Because I was so verbally abusive to her. So verbally abusive. We won't go into that. She walked in with my daughter. And I won't forget the words that my wife said to me. When she figured out what happened. She said, "What was I supposed to tell your daughter that those were your brains on the floor? What was I supposed to tell your 3-year-old daughter that's your dad's brains on the floor?" It shook me. And the next day, I slept in one room, she slept in the other. I was scared. Because I should have not have had a head on my shoulders, man. True story. She said, "What was I supposed to tell your daughter that those were your brains on the floor?" I'm almost there, Robert. So I went in my room scared. She went to her room. Then at 5 o'clock in the morning, I was strung out on coke. Strung out, man. And then I was in bed and a presence, a conviction, walked into that room. The presence of God. I thank God for my grandmother's prayers. The presence of God walked into that room and I began to cry and weep. And I got on my knees on that bed. I said, "God, forgive me of my sins. forgive me, Lord. I asked Christ into my heart 28 years ago. The first thing I did, and I'm going to go on to another part of this service. First thing I did was I walked into the room next door. We slept in different rooms. Knocked on the door. I had to knock on the door, believe that or not. She says to me, "What do you want?" I said, "I remember clearly." I said, "Hey, open the door." I said, "I just gave my life to Jesus." I said, "I think I love you again." She says to me, "Good. Get out." I wanted a hug. I wanted her to say, "Let's work this out." But no, she said, "Good, get out." Then a week later, she gave her life to Christ. And now the woman that I hated so much, I am so, so in love with her. She is my best friend, an awesome mother of six, Mario and Aisha. Keep God in the midst of your marriage and she'll get prettier and prettier and prettier, and your love will grow more and more and more, and you for him, Aisha. Mondo and Gigi, bring God into your marriage. She'll get prettier and prettier, and your love will increase for her more and more and more if you let Jesus into your heart. I say that to say that's why I cry, because I should be dead, burning in hell, crying out in pain. But instead, my God, through the prayers of my grandmother, had mercy on me, and I'm here alive today. So the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he made him who knew no sin. How many of you can agree with me that Jesus knew no sin? Say amen. Jesus never sinned. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. Let that sink in. God made Jesus who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is where the church has missed it. We always, and yes, you get born again to live forever in heaven. That's eternal life. That's what we want when we die, when we breathe our last breath. We want to know that we're with Jesus forever, but the church has missed it. Because while we wait to inherit eternal life is in us. The moment you give your life to Jesus, yes, one day we'll be with him. But in the meantime, he is in us. That is eternal life. To know him. To serve him. To yield your life to him. That is eternal life. To know the only true God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All we've ever done wrong in our life, every sin we've ever committed, every adulterous affair, anything we've ever done wrong, we deserved punishment for that. We deserved punishment for that. But Jesus was born as the perfect Lamb of God and said, and he offered himself. They didn't take Jesus' life. He gave his life. We sinned, We were ugly. And Jesus came so that our sin would be laid on him. Think about that now. We sin against God, and God lays the penalty of our sin on his son who did no sin. That is a love that's unthinkable, unfathomable. It's the love of God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The word righteous means to be in good standings with God. All of our sin was laid on him. If you live your life as a Christian daily, your sin is charged to him. And he paid the price for our sin through the scourging post, through the cross, and the resurrection from Hades. I won't go into that. We sin through his love. He paid the price for our sin through death, that we might be made righteous. The word righteous means that we would be in right standing with him. You with me? And the only way one is in right standing with God is if you accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you don't accept it, if you don't believe in Jesus, see, this is a misconception. Many think, I believe in God. Well, believing in God is not enough to have the life of God inside of you. You got to do the word of the God that you say you believe in. Everybody believes in God. When a person's dying, they're about to die in a car wreck, what do you think they say before they die? Oh God. Everybody believes in God. But the key to Christianity is not to believe in God, but to obey the word of the God that you say you obey, that you believe. That is Christianity. He made him who knew no sin become sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. This is faith. Lord, I woke up that morning. I fell on my knees. I said, God, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins, Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord. Man, I cried for 3 days. He came and he changed me. I loved my wife once again. I stopped doing crack. I stopped doing coke. All the pornography, that I was addicted to pornography, I threw it all away from one day to the other. I threw it away. Why? Because there was a change inside of me. Christ came. The Spirit of God came and indwelt me and changed me. He who knew no sin, Jesus, was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I sinned. He didn't. He paid the price for my sin. And if I believe that he paid the price, and I believe that he came to forgive me of my sin, I'm made righteous because his Spirit lives inside of me and he changed me. Believing in God, even Satan believes in God. But true Christianity is to do the word of the God that you say you believe in. And you only believe in God when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. He made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be made sin for us. All of our sin was laid on Jesus. And if I don't believe in Jesus, that he is the Savior of the world, then all my sin will be laid on me. And if I die with my sin laid on me, I'll be in hell for the rest of my life. But if I acknowledge what Jesus did, Jesus, you came, you offered yourself as a living sacrifice, Lord. You gave yourself on the altar of sacrifice. You allowed your precious blood to be shed. Jesus, thank you. Forgive me of my sin, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart, Lord. I want to know that when I die, that I'll be with you forever. But until then, Father, I'm waiting for the kingdom of God one day to go into it. But no, he's saying, I want to give you the kingdom of God. I want my spirit inside of you. And we live out of that spirit. That is Christianity. He made him, he made Jesus to be, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The moment you give your life to Jesus, all your sins are forgiven, and he sees you holy and blameless without rebuke in his eyes. He sees you holy and blameless. The moment you get born again, you make a mistake once you're born again. You say, Jesus, forgive me. And he sees you holy and blameless as long as you continue in the faith of the gospel. That is simplicity. Immokalee, heard Frankie and Tamario talking earlier. They were so right. I go visit one of my old homeboys in prison every 3 weeks, and the prisons in Port Charlotte, they're loaded with people from Immokalee. Loaded. Loaded. And I say this with all due respect, they're loaded with brown and black people. They're loaded. They're loaded. There has to be a change. There has to be structure. The family unit has been torn apart. Tomorrow, you and Aisha got an awesome thing going. Don't stop, Tomorrow. You love her like a queen, man. Aisha, you love him like a king. Gigi, Mondo, love each other. Raise your children in the ways of God. Didi, Gigi, you've come a long ways, Gigi. I told you at a baseball game one day that I'm so proud of you. The way you were there cheering for your kids. Because you, I don't mean this with disrespect at all, but you didn't have a good example growing up. But look at you now, a good housewife, a good mom. Fight for your children. Fight for their lives. Get on your knees at night and say, Father, touch my child. Have mercy on him, Lord. Have mercy on him. Because Satan wants to kill our children. Satan wants to destroy the family unit. Satan wants to turn our sons into girls and our girls into boys. I'm not coming at you as a Republican or a Democrat. I'm coming at you as a Christian. I won't give you one opinion today. I'll give you the Word of God. He made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That Sean, that Kathy, that Abby and Abigail might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we sinned. We give our life to Jesus. He forgives us. And we walk free. If we live in him. Almost there, Robert. I'm going to say this. Listen to me. Listen to me. Rabbit trail. Listen to me. Not an opinion, but a fact. But a fact. This country wants to pit black and brown together to hate white people. They're putting us together as victims to hate white people. Is there racism in this world? Yeah, there's racism. But it doesn't matter to us. Because we're Christians with the love of God in us. Can I give you a fact real quick? And then I'm almost done, believe it or not. Just let this sink in. Let this sink in. I'm talking to you as a Christian. Did you know that there's 34,000 Mexicans killed every year by Mexicans? Did you know that 91% of all black people are killed by black people? The country's trying to teach us to hate white people. Are white people perfect? No. But be careful what you listen to. In God, there is no color. Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind. He loves everybody. We're saved. Are going to be saved based on forgiveness. Once you give your life to Jesus, man, people say, well, I got to work on forgiving. No, if you got to work on forgiving, then you're walking in unforgiveness. I don't care who says it. I don't care how you slice it up. Well, I have a hard time forgiving. Yes, you do. That's called unforgiveness. Jesus is calling you, man. The days of excuses will cease today. Where you look through a single eye, through a good lens at people for what they are. Not for what lies the media tells us about people. I love everybody, man. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're transgender. Things might be wrong that I don't approve of or the Bible, but that doesn't mean I don't love you, man. It doesn't mean that I don't love you. I don't have to love what you do, but I never have the right to hate you. Never. I don't care what you've done to me. I never have that right to hate you. Because I'm made righteous in God. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. I'm real critical now to say nothing bad about anybody. God wants to save you. and give you eternal life. Now he wants to give you eternal life. To change you. To work in you. And through you. To magnify Jesus. God can rock your world, man. He can rock your world. Right where you're at, he can rock your world. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. Basically, we live our life sinning. Then a preacher like me introduces Jesus to you. And you accept the word from the preacher and you give your life to Jesus and all your sins are forgiven. And you walk holy and blameless in His sight at that moment. If you continue in the faith of the gospel and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. His blood washes you. His life changes you. And His mercy is so good, man. So when you accept Jesus Christ, He doesn't just call you righteous. He makes you righteous because His Spirit comes and indwells you and changes you. Permanent change if you let Him. Christians don't make it because they live by feelings and not by faith. That's why Christians fail. They give themselves to feelings. Faith is doing those things that please God when you don't feel like it. And it gets easier and easier to live a holy life. Because the Bible says His commandments are not grievous. Winding it down now. I'm almost done. Some of you are going to give your life to Jesus tonight. There's going to be a change in your conscience. You're going to know what's right and wrong because the Spirit of God's going to come and dwell you. And you're going to have to make decisions. Ladies, you are more than a sex object. You are a queen to Almighty God. You are more than a set. You're more than a big butt and a skinny waist. You're more than that, man. You are a queen. And there's a good man out there that will treat you like a queen. Men, stop preying on these women. Can I be honest with you? In the kingdom of God, there is no chambering. In other words, there is no playing house. There's marriage. There's marriage. And if you give your life to Jesus, what I'm saying will bear witness with you because you'll have the Spirit of truth inside of you. And what I'm saying, you'll relate to it. Ladies, you're so beautiful and precious. You're far more than a sex object. You're a queen. You're a queen. Jesus knew your name. He knew about you. He said, I want to die for her. I'm going to die for her. I'm going to die for him. I want to be their comfort. Father, all their sin, lay it on me, Dad. Lay their sin on me. I want to give them eternal life. Some of us have made mistakes in our life. God wants to forgive you of all the mistakes, cleanse you, and make you a different man or a different woman to live for his glory. Because he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You give your life to Jesus publicly, his spirit will come impregnate you, live inside of you, and instantaneously he'll turn you into a different person if you meant your confession from your heart. Are you with me? Amen. It is real quiet in here. Either I'm very boring or the Holy Ghost is touching that spot. We've got to change things. We've got to change things. Man, I'm not mad at none of you. I'm giving you words of eternal life. I'm not giving you one opinion. Everything I said tonight, and I'm almost done, is biblical. It's biblical. Guys, if you've been with a girl, living with her for a long, just go to the courthouse. Make it right in the eyes of God. Tamar and Aisha went to the courthouse, correct, Aisha? Go to the courthouse. Get married, man. Let God come into your marriage and change it. But you got to live a holy, sanctified, married life in him. That's not an opinion of me or my pastor. That is the word of God. That is Christianity. That is the word of God. Pray for your children. Love your husband. Love your wife. The days are ugly, man. Thank you, Robert. I'm almost done. I'm sorry, buddy. Things are ugly. You hear about wars and rumors of wars. You hear of them wanting to abort babies even when they're out of the mother's womb now. And they'll kill you if you talk regarding that. They want to let males go into girls' locker rooms. That has become the norm in our country. We've got to stand up through God's word. And look at what your children are doing. Pay close attention. I'm not mad at anybody, man. In my life, I'm finding it real easy to love people. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care what you are. I'm finding it real easy to love people. Because you know why? Because I want to see them in heaven one day. And being ugly to people won't get them saved. You have brought me great joy today. My boy Fat Waz, Aisha, Tamario, Pooh Bear, Sean, Gigi, Mondo, Joey, Lupita, all you guys that are here, Nigeria, Ted, you brought me joy today. Now bring yourself some joy and give your life to Jesus. Because he made him who knew no sin to become sin for me and you, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If we believe that he came and he died on the cross for our sin, we shall be saved. But the church has failed because you have to endure. As a Christian, you have to endure till the end. Houses are broken. kids just don't know what love is anymore. Mom and dad isn't at home anymore. But I believe you're going to change things. Man, I'm not mad at any of you. I just tell you the truth because I love you. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. He died for you. I wish I could say more about that, but it's just not the time right now. The Bible said he was resurrected from Hades. I'll stop there. But he died for you. He gave his life up for you. He went to the altar of sacrifice on his own free will. And I'll pay the price for Shandora. I'll pay the price for Homer. I'll pay the price for Pastor Bronk. I'll pay the price for their sin, Lord. Lay their sin on me. I'll take their sin. Lay it on me. I'll be scourged. I'll be crucified. I'll rise up from hell for them so they won't have to go to hell. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ, you won't go to hell. But if you do not acknowledge him, you do not believe that he is a sacrifice from God, then you will. Are you with me? Jesus, we love you. Bow your heads with me, please. Jesus. Play something real soft, Harry. I know Robert's real tired. I don't know what you can think of. Just play something real soft. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for your glory, for your conviction. I thank you for Jesus and for his blood, for the hope that we have in him, Lord. Father, you know their hearts. You know where they come from. You know their hurts, Lord. I pray, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. They leave this place today. Addictions broken. I pray even that they forgive themselves, Lord, for things that they've done. For everyone here today, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to touch their hearts, Father, to heal those broken hearts. Betrayals, they've been betrayed. They've been hurt, Father. But, oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, you can touch every heart today. I pray for them all, Father, that your words would have been felt and I had not just heard, Father. You will take them back as they are, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll tell you this, young adults. I love you guys so, so much. I love you so much. To see some of you guys back in the house of God, it's like somebody gave me an early Christmas present. You're always welcome back to this house. But I love you so much, man. I love you so much. And more than me loving you, Jesus Christ loves you so much. He isn't mad at you. He just wants to come live inside of you and change you. And turn you into that godly wife and godly husband and godly lady that you are. You're so beautiful in His sight. Ladies, wait for Mr. Wright. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus tonight. Surandiam borosokodarandia. Oh Lord, they would taste of your goodness. They would taste of your goodness and feel your spirit inside of them, Lord. They will never ever be the same, Father. That they would feel your embrace. That you would saturate their thoughts, their hearts, and their minds, Lord. I love them so much, Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I preach Jesus Christ. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. But I pray tonight that I preach this gospel in such simplicity where you could understand it. Throwing no stones at you, just throwing truth at you, anointed by the Holy Ghost, so the words of God will prick your heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed, oh Jesus, restore the marriages, Lord. Restore the marriages. Restore them. Betrayals and hurts, Father. Touch by the power of your Spirit. For those lost sons and lost daughters, Father, we pray for them right now that even in jail where they're at, Father, that the Holy Spirit would visit them right now in Jesus' name, Father, that they would feel your presence and begin to say to themselves, what must I do to be born again? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you this. If you die tomorrow, the way that you're living right now, would Jesus Christ let you in? Would He let you in? It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to obey the word of the God that you say you believe. Well, tonight, I give you an offer. An offer of eternal life. An offer. The simple prayer. All your sins will be forgiven. And He'll make you a brand new person. If you just acknowledge and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He came to die for your sins. And if you meant that prayer when you say it, there will be a change inside of you. You'll go from having a worldly conscience to a godly conscience in a matter of seconds. So every head bowed and every eye closed, I cannot look around. Carl, stand up for me, Carl, and keep your eye on the audience, please. Is Carl in here? Okay, just turn around and look at the audience. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you think you've drifted away from God, if you're not sure that if you died today you'd be with Jesus forever, then you're probably not in a good place. He longs to forgive you. He longs to give you eternal life. He longs for that. So if that's you tonight, I think there's several of you because you've been so quiet. so quiet. If that's you today, you want to give your life to Jesus, you have access to me. If you give your life to Jesus, I will follow up with you. I will help you. Even after church, we're going to give you a nice book to help you with your walk with Christ, free of charge. But if that's you tonight, if that's you tonight, and you want to give your life to Jesus, repeat this prayer with me, because you want to. Because you know that what I'm telling you is truth and it's anointed of God, and God wants you so much. If that's you, say this prayer with me. Don't mumble it. Say it where your neighbors can hear you. I dare you. Jesus is calling you. Can you say amen? Say, Father God, I come to you, a sinner. Say, Father, forgive me of all my sin. I've sinned against you, Lord. And now I come to you and I ask for your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. And on the third day, you rose again. And because you rose again, your spirit lives in me. Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Jesus, give me your grace to grow in you, to read my Bible, and to pray. To become a totally different person. Okay, listen to me now. Let's see. I'm going to ask you, if you said that prayer and you meant it, I'm going to ask you, take that next step of faith. Stand up and come to this altar. I dare you. Stand up and come forward to this altar. Several of you prayed it. Don't be embarrassed. Come on up. Come on up. What's that? Many of you prayed it. Come on, I dare you. Don't be embarrassed. We're a family here. We are a family. What you feel right now is Him. You want to come up so bad. Make it a public confession. Come on up. I'll wait for you a few more moments. A few more moments. I'll wait for you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Come on forward. Come on forward. Nobody's laughing at you. In fact, we'll rejoice with you. Come on forward and give your life to Jesus. A few more moments. You know who you are. Come on forward. Anyone else? There's more. Come on. I dare you. Make it a public confession. Come on. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. A few more moments and we're going to close this up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Here we go. Harry, you got saved by grace. Harry, where would I be? Okay, we're going to close this down. Can you get them together, Carl, on this side? All of them on this side. Please. Anyone else? How many do we got here, Carl? Huh? Hey, okay, they're on this side. Hallelujah. Is anyone out there tonight that's not been filled with the Holy Ghost and praising tongues? Right now, today is your time to receive your prayer language. Praying in tongues has worked wonders in my life. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is the next step to your conversion into Christianity. Is there anyone out there who's not praying the Spirit, not filled with the Holy Ghost, that would like to pray in tongues? It's free, and it'll take seconds to do it. If you're there, come on forward with this bunch here, and we'll pray together as a body. Anyone? Anyone? Your prayer language, receiving the power of the kingdom of God, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, followed by a supernatural language. Hallelujah. Anyone, we're almost done. Anyone come up for that, Carl? Huh? Last call for that. Last call for that. We'll lay your hands on you and you'll leave this place praying in tongues fluently. So come on up. It will change your life, man. It's a perfect prayer ordained of God that will change your life. Free of charge. Hallelujah. So who's up here, Carl? What's their names, Carl? Who? I stand. Nigeria. Who else? Tedrica. Who else? Who else, Carl? Oh, my God. There's more of you out there. Oh, man, there's more of you out there. Don't be embarrassed. Come on, man. I'll wait a little bit longer for you. Jesus. Jesus. Anyone else, Carl? Who's that? What's her name? Who's that, Carl? Okay, what are your names, please? Abigail? Come here. Who else is with you? Adriana? I'll give you a hug, too. Come here. Aisha did. Nigeria, my God. Who else is here? Pooh Bear. Hallelujah. Aisha. What's that? Moralia, all of you guys. Lord Jesus. Thank you for their commitment. I pray your grace in their life, Lord. Your grace in their life to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in you, Lord. To walk into you head first, Father. Empowered by your grace and by your spirit, Father. I thank you, Father, that you came to seek and save that which is lost. I thank you for the 8 souls today that have given their life to you, Jesus. You guys know how to get a hold of me. Ask me questions. I will help you. I will have a Bible study with you. I will help you. I won't leave you alone. I love you so much, man. Anyone else? I don't feel he's done yet. I think that some of you are out there. Anyone else? Come on, man. Come on. Hallelujah. I tell you what. Those of you out there, let's give them a nice round of applause. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys will see Alex Genty after. He's going to give you all a book. All of you guys that are here tonight, get with Alex. He's going to give you a book. It's a real good book written by one of my good friends, a good father of mine. I got 2 fathers in the faith that I respect so much. It's the Pastor Bronk is the granddaddy of them all in my life, but I got a man that I so respect in Dayton, Ohio, named Barry Johnson. He wrote an excellent book to get you started on your journey with Christ. And read your Bibles in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. Read your Bibles, man. Stay in contact with me. Find me on social media. You got my phone number. Find me. Call me, man. I will help you. And come back and visit us. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you. Hallelujah. Give them a round of applause one more time. Hallelujah. That you, Pooh Bear. Where's he at? Who's this? Tim, well, I'll give Tim. I love you guys. You give me the... Who's there? Okay. That's all right. Where you at, Cooper? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you have a good time while you were here? Pastor, you got any closing thoughts, Pastor?
Been an awesome service, and I just want to say that everything that Homer said, I say that 1,000 times over. We love every single one of you. You're all invited, welcome to come here. Please, you know, the next step, even if you didn't really, I mean, if you're serving the Lord or you don't know if you're serving the Lord, you didn't know if you should come forward, not come forward, just make the step. Just take a step and listen, if you're any place in this area, I mean, most of our church that come here doesn't even live in Immokalee. Most people live in Lehi, LaBelle, Fort Myers, Naples. So not a lot of excuse. I mean, if you're not going to a church that's got you on fire for God, then you need to be here. You really do. If you're not going to a church that preaches what Homer preached tonight, if they're giving you a watered-down gospel, I'm sorry. You need to be here to grow. And I'm not running anybody down. I'm just saying we love you. Nobody's going to say where you've been. Nobody's going to ask for your money. Nobody's going to ask for you to do anything. The other thing I'll tell you this is that on our website, as soon as you go there, there's 10 lessons. They're only about 30 minutes long, so it's not going to take off all day, but they're discipleship training lessons. Just one ABC. It's just, I kept it as simple as I possibly could, just like Homer did tonight. It's what salvation means. It's how to study your Bible, where to start in your Bible, how to be born again, how to pray in the Holy Ghost, how to go forward. It's 10 lessons of discipleship, and it's real easy. It's right as soon as you go onto our website. It's on the face page. You know, it'll say discipleship training manuals. You'll be able to listen to the audio or, you know, print it out or read, you know, read. We've got all the notes there as well. So, amen. God bless you.
All right, guys, stand with me, please. Harry, give me a praise song. Every praise. Pray that as we go out of here with fire. Guys, thank you so much. Alex, Natalie, thank you for the testimonies. Robert, Harry, the worship team, Terry, thank you so much. I try to really listen to the Holy Ghost tonight. There's other things that I wanted to implement, but I just didn't feel the timing for them. They would not have lined up with what the Holy Ghost wanted to be said tonight. So please forgive me. You know who you are. It just was not the time for anything else but just simplicity. So guys, thank you for coming. Fat Walls, my boy, be careful on the way home. Pooper, I love you, man. Adriana, all you guys, I love you. Kathy, Lupita, I love all of you, man. These doors are open. They're open for you. Come on back. This is homecoming 2023. Come on home, man. Come on home. Amen. Get that song ready. I'm going to pray and we will be dismissed. Take some food home, please. Take some food home. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you for these souls that are saved, Father. Oh, Father, washed in your blood and changed by your Spirit. I thank you for all of them, Lord. My pastor brought up a critical point. Just because they didn't come up does not mean they didn't give their life to you, Lord. Does not mean that they're not. That's a great point. But take that step of faith and begin to pray and find you a good church and walk into Jesus. Father, we thank you and we love you so much. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you in 5 years. No, come visit us Sunday morning, 10 o'clock.